And of course, we're going to take your phone calls this hour with Lloyd Pye as we talk about the Starchild skull. Next hour, we'll start our Friday the 13th open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Lloyd, while he was alive, the late Zechariah Sitchin, did he ever comment about the Starchild, do you know?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, as a matter of fact, when I had that meeting with Ray and Melanie, I was on my way to UFO Congress at Laughlin. I, within a week, showed it to everybody there. And then that night, there was another conference going on in Sedona, and I raced over there to show it to Zechariah. So he got to see it within a week of me laying eyes on it. Now, his advice at the time was just leave it alone, man. It's going to wreck your life and wreck your career. So maybe I should have listened to him. But I said, no, it'll take 6 months at the most. You know, once scientists get to look at this thing, how weird it is, they're going to be lining up wanting to get involved. This could be history in the making. Sure, they're going to do. You know, I mean, I was just so naive. I was so stupid about what I was getting into, and Zechariah being a lot older and a lot, he had been through the mill a lot longer than I had, so he knew what it was about, and I didn't, and I had to find out the hard way. So that was his opinion, and he proved to be right. It's been very, very difficult. In the end, though, we're going to win now. It's, I mean, no doubt about it, and so I feel like it's all going to be justified in the end.
You have sacrificed a lot for this.
Oh, tremendously, tremendously.
Would you do it again?
Well, now that I know where it's heading, yeah, I would, because it's going to be worth it. I mean, let's face it, this story is going to be as big as anything ever gets. It's going to be like putting men on the moon or, you know, on that level. It's going to move us to the next phase of reality for humans. I mean, where we moved from being the, you know, the Earth was the center of the solar system, and we moved to being spacefaring people, and now we're going to move to the next phase, which is that we're not alone. And I mean, it's just what it means. The Starchild means that at least once, 900 years ago, an alien being lived and died and was buried on this planet. Now, to me, the way I see it, the great advantage that it provides is it is a great cushion to move into the idea of full disclosure that aliens are here now around us, that the UFOs that we see are manned by intelligent beings. That's what government doesn't really want to acknowledge yet, our government anyway. Other governments are getting to the point where they don't care. But our government is still under tremendous pressure. And if you, you know, talk to Richard Dolan about it, who in his wonderful book, AD, he paints a more sinister picture than I think is necessarily warranted. But it obviously they've put a lot of effort into keeping the, you know, disclosure under wraps. What the Starchild gives, in my opinion, is a neat bridging mechanism, because it allows you to say, well, okay, at least an alien existed 900 years ago. It came here. It may have come here by accident. It was here. But that doesn't mean they're still around. That doesn't mean that they exist today. Now, we will move to that point eventually. So they'll be seen somewhere. There'll be, you know, thousands of people will see one. I'm not suggesting that it's going to be a landing on the White House lawn, but something's going to happen someday, which is what Richard says in his book. But in the meanwhile, the Starchild provides a way for those who want to move into the future. If you do any polling, I'm sure you know this, anywhere around the world generally, it's about 50-50. 50% believe in UFOs and aliens, and they're comfortable with the idea, and 50% aren't. So there's always, always those who are comfortable at the cutting edge of the future and those who really want to hang back as far as they can. This gives those who want to move into the future ammunition to do that, the Starchild does, and it also gives those who want to hang back ammunition to do that. Well, it was here 900 years ago, but it doesn't mean it's here now, whereas the others can say, look, if it was here 900 years ago, that you can extrapolate that to mean they're here now. So I think it's an important part an important first step toward full disclosure, but let's call it medium disclosure or disclosure light. Let's call it disclosure light. But nonetheless, it's a massively important event that the Star Child represents, and we know we're going to be able to do it as soon as we can line up the investor to provide the money that we need to do what we need to do at the very large level that it needs to be done.
Okay, let's go to the phones. First-time caller, Roger in Atlanta. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Raj, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, thank you. I just want to let you know what an excellent job you do. And Lloyd, you are one persistent gentleman.
Thank you.
I think it's been, it was probably, 13 years ago, you sent me an email and said, look, I found this skull. I want you to take a look at it. And we've been talking a good while ever since. But you do a great job. You've withstood a lot of the critiquing from the skeptics out there.
Right.
And I appreciate it.
Well, listen, I know who you are, and I appreciate the things that you've done to me. In fact, he sent me a wonderful piece today. He's an engineer, and he sent me a wonderful piece to do with statistics. I don't know if I can give his whole name, but I know who he is. And it had to do with the statistics of why why 10% is so much more than is actually needed for something like the Star Child, because he is the one who gave me the term, the confidence interval. And, you know, it's like a car comes off the line. A car can be changed an awful lot. So you can't be confident that the car, everything about it's going to stay the same and be the same, so that if you take a part of it, it's always representative of the whole thing. With a being, a living being, human or anything else, once it's conceived and begins the process of gestation, it's set. Nothing's going to change that, the internal part of it. Nothing's going to change its DNA. Nothing's going to change its metabolism. It has what it has. So you can have much more confidence in a small piece of that representing the whole. And science doesn't allow that. They say you have to supply the whole. We will accept no part. It's all or nothing. So this is why we're stuck with, even though we have now very compelling evidence under any normal circumstance. If it was them, they would go, George, the human genome was announced at the 60% point. They said, we have it. We have the whole genome. They didn't have it. They had 60%. But why were they confident that they could say that? Because they knew where it was going. They could see and they knew where it was going to finish. And sure enough, it did. It finished out right where they thought it would, at 60%. They can get away with partials. Somebody like us with the Star Child, we're not allowed. We have to recover the whole genome, and we have to cram that down their throat. But the good news is, we can do it. All we really have to do is get the money and move ahead, which is we're in the process of trying to do right now.
Can you get a lab to donate?
No. If the lab donated, then the first thing the other side would say is, oh, well, then they're in it for some reason. You know, you can't get anybody to donate anything, or they've got a stake in it. You see what I mean? Whereas if you just pay them their fee, they supposedly don't have a dog in the fight, and they can, they're not angling to make their money on the back end. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just being paid and out. So that's the way you have to do it to verify the validity and the accuracy of the answer.
West of the Rockies, John in Pear Blossom, California. You're up with us. John, go ahead. You're on with Lloyd Pye.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, I was watching a program here just recently, and they did a forensic rebuilding of the skull. And from the features that it had, I really do believe that it was alien, because it couldn't have those kind of features. I mean, I've looked into different types of deformities and whatnot, and there is nothing that would really say that kind of deformity would happen to a child during birth.
You're probably talking about the Bill Munns sculpture that was seen on Monster Quest. Is that the show you were watching?
I don't think it was Monster Quest. I think it was another show that I've
seen. If it was UFO Hunters, then that one that you saw on UFO Hunters looks really, if you look at it, it looks like Lee Harvey Oswald with a big head. It has a very human lower face. And,
well,
and that you know, that really
is a conspiracy accurate. On top of a conspiracy. Then,
exactly. No, really, I hate to make fun, but that's how it came out. I warned them. I said, you know, they're only going to have the human template to work with, and it's going to be a human face under a big bulgy head, and that's
well,
exactly
of course,
what
of course.
But the Bill Munns is a forensic sculptor of great skill who works in our field, and so he and I were able to talk a lot, and I was able to tell him, you know, what I thought it ought to look like. Now, in the final product of Bill's work, which is, I think, on the websites, on the internet, certainly it's in the ebook, the Star Child Essentials ebook, but its neck is too big, and Bill and I talked about this. The neck is too big; it's flared out too much in the side, but he couldn't bring himself to stick it. That big head under the little pencil neck that the Star Child really has, where the positions are for it, and also the eyes. He cut the eyeballs. You know, you're making a sculpture, and there you have different size of eyes. It's like taxidermy. You know, different size of eyes you can put in there. Tried to put eyes in there, and they stuck off like frog eyes because the eye sockets are so shallow. So he cut them in half to make it look more like human eyes. So I objected to the eyes and to the neck, but other than that, he built it really, I think, a pretty good job. So, you know, I don't know that the best job has been done yet, but maybe someday I'll get to work with one very intimately, and we'll be able to go over it and get it exactly right, or as close to exactly right as it can be done.
Lloyd, have you given up your work, you know, looking at other human creatures and other human origins? Have you stopped that, or are you just exclusively the Star Child?
George, I cannot wait to get back to that. My human origins work is really my passion. That was my passion for like 20 years. And then this fell into my lap, and I up to the point that the Star Child came to me in early 99, I was not a UFO or an alien guy. I was a hominoid guy. I was a human origins guy. So this to me is a responsibility. It's not really the passion that I have for that other work, which I can't wait to get back to. But this is, not only is it a responsibility, it's an enormous responsibility. How many millions of people would like to be standing in my shoes to have been gifted with this thing? So I take it very seriously, the responsibility of what needs to be done and how it needs to be done so that this works for all of us, because there are literally millions of people out there who want this to be true. I mean, there's, 6 billion of us, and 50% polling, or I'll say it's 30% want it. That's many, many hundreds of millions of people want this to happen, to move us to that next level.
I'd love for this to be real. I really would.
I everybody on our side would. And you talk to the other side, you talk to the mainstreamers, we'd love nothing more. Oh, that would be so great if we knew. That's malarkey. They don't want to know. I tell you, I'm out there dealing with them, and they don't want this to happen because they don't want it to happen on their watch. It's going to turn their worlds upside down to have to actually literally go into work the next day and cope with what this means. So it isn't something that they're anxious to happen, but by the same token, they know they can't avoid it. They can't avoid it forever. And like I said, the Star Child to me represents a nice bridging mechanism to move everybody from the ignorance that we mostly wallow in now regarding UFOs and aliens to some sense of understanding and reality that allows us then at some point in the future to take that next step up to full disclosure, which we all know is coming. It's just a matter of when. But the Star Child gives us a big boost in that direction, and that's why it's important, and that's why I'm very excited about the position that we're in with it right now, because with the mitochondrial DNA evidence that we talked about, it's absolutely in the bag. It's absolutely a done deal. We just have to follow through and collect those the statistics that will come out of the work of recovering the two genomes.
I like your confidence there. East of the Rockies. Hey, D, Red Level, Alabama. Go ahead, D.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I got some pictures of the moon, and I zoomed in on it.
Okay.
There's activity up there. There's people living there. I got lots of pictures I could send you.
Please.
If you're interested in seeing them.
Absolutely. George at coasttocoastam.com, if you can.
I've done since on there, and I don't never hear nothing back.
Boy, I've never seen these.
I got one that I sent to my sister a while ago. It's the top of a head. It's like an eagle's eye view of the top of a head.
Okay, well, make sure you get it. You've got to put the AM at the end of Coast to Coast. You have to go coast to T-O, coast to coast AM.com, George at coast to coast AM.com. But thanks. Let's go to Aaron and driving in California, first-time caller. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me. First-time caller. I really love your show. Been listening for less than 6 months. I find it really intriguing.
Thank you. I'm glad you're with us.
Thank you, sir. My question is there a possibility that we might be able to take some of the DNA from this from the skull and actually maybe clone it and figure out what, you know, what it actually is or could be?
No time soon can you do cloning with DNA that is heavily degraded. You can do it if this, you know, if we had a living alien with us right now where we could pull out living DNA the way they do with sheep or, you know, Dolly the sheep and all that. If you've got every bit of it intact, live, fresh, then you can clone. But when it's degraded and been dead for a long time, no, not enough of it is there intact. What you can do is recover all the parts of it. And then you have a computer program that would tell you how to put those parts together. So, but you'd have to build it and make it work. And we're not to that level yet.
What else did you have in addition to the skull? What else was there?
That the skull, well, the skull, which was broken and missing, I mean, parts of it were knocked off, and the upper right maxilla. If you stick your finger in the middle of your top lip and swing it to the right, that upper jaw, that and the rest of the skull, basically, except for the cheekbones.
What happened to the rest of the body?
Well, it was tumbled along in a flash flood. The girl that found them she recovered the skeletons and she hid the bones in a gully, and it was a big mistake because that night a torrential rain came for 2 days and a night, flooded, so the gully filled up, washed all the bones away, and she found the two skulls and the piece of maxilla in bushes downstream, and that was all she recovered. And they had been damaged. Both skulls had been damaged in the tumble. The human one lost its one of its cheekbones, and the star child lost both cheekbones and the front of its face. But its upper right maxilla was retained.
Well, at least you got the skull part.
We got, 90% of a whole skull, pretty much. And we have about 85% of that left. We've had to obviously cut out pretty good chunks of it to do the DNA work that's been done, but we still have an awful lot of it left, so we're in good shape. And it's well preserved for ancient DNA. For 900 years old, it's beautifully preserved because it was in a mine tunnel. So that's like a climate control storage locker. So it's not hard to recover. The guys in 203 found that out. They were able to recover the human mitochondrial DNA first try, nuclear DNA first try, star child mitochondrial DNA first try, and then six tries for the nuclear for the star child, and they couldn't. So that's how they knew that something was wrong with the father.
What year did Everything You Know Is Wrong come out?
That came out in very late 97.
97. 97. I remember that. I was at the KTRS in St. Louis.
Right.
You were one of my first national guests. I had heard you on with Art before that.
Right.
And I got to get this guy. And
hey, and look, everybody, when I was on with him, and you might remember me telling you this, I'd say, you know, you're really one of the best of these other guys out there. And so when you got the show, when Art decided to retire, I was glad you got the show because you were really one of the best of the other ones that I had talked to.
Hey, Lloyd, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll start our Friday the 13th open lines, find out how your Friday the 13th went. We'll come back in a moment to talk with Lloyd Pye about the Star Child Project and take your final calls. And also, it's time now for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. First of all, those of you listening to your favorite radio station across North America, now 545 strong. Wow. Thank you for everything you do. Coast Insiders, formerly called Streamlink members, hello to you and thank you. XM Satellite Channel 168, that's now changed. It is now 168. It's at XM Talk 168. Then the various chat rooms and groups all around this planet. First of all, a brand new forum set up, Fantastic Forum 2, and that's with a number 2, Fantastic Forum 2. Many of these brand new members were part of the old Fantastic Forum, and then when its founder, Linnea, passed away suddenly and very sadly, this group felt that it needed to change, and they formed Fantastic Forum 2, and so they're up there doing what they do, very supportive of Coast to Coast AM, and originally it was all set up when Art was doing the program, and they have been just a tremendous booster for him over all these years. Fantastic Forum 2. And, of course, Into Infinity, where many of the old Nighthawk Zone folks were, they're now over there. And so there's that group. And then Imaginative Worlds, another great group, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, Twitter, Facebook, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for all of you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Lloyd Pye. Lloyd, I've got to give you credit for your resiliency, your staying power. Look, if you were a boxer, I wouldn't want to get in the ring with you. You just keep coming. You wouldn't stop.
Well, you know, it's if I thought that I was barking up the wrong tree, I would have quit a long time ago. But everything I've ever turned up keeps it moving toward the idea that it's an alien. And, of course, this latest result, which is just definitive by anybody's measure except the other side, you know, people who don't want to acknowledge it, 10% of the mitochondrial DNA, it should be enough for anybody. It isn't, but it should be. It is enough to know exactly where the answer is going to fall, and it is enough to say that we absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, are going to win. So when you're in that kind of a position, it's pretty easy to gut it out. You know you don't have to go that much further, and you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and get the job done. And once it's done, then, as I was saying earlier, I'm going to jump back into that human origins, hominoid stuff, gladly, and redo everything you know is wrong and bring it up to speed as I can, and you know, just go off onto that path, which is the one that I really like being on.
Back we go to the phones, and we'll go to Lancaster, California to start things with Ray. Hey, Ray, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, George, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, nice show tonight, yeah. Yeah, you know, my first impression of the Star Child's call was that it looked like Pac-Man had sex with a crab.
Lloyd, we're not laughing at you.
Well, I know. I
didn't hear you chuckle on that one.
Well, it's clever, but it's a little bit off. It's a little bit off.
No, but okay. But I have a 2-part question.
Sure.
With that, if possible. But that was just my first impression. But is it possible that that is a birth defect? And then second question is, how come that skull is not in the hands of the Skull and Bone?
Well, it's not in the hands of the Skull and Bones because we have it, and we haven't. We keep it in a bank
and
vault.
And you hide it. That's right.
Yeah, you know, we take good care of it. As far as
I'm sure, they'd like to have it.
Yeah, and the what was the first part of the question again? I'm sorry.
Well, that basically was about it.
All right. Well, that's why we take good care of it. We realize that it's one of the most valuable things in the world, although not everybody is aware of that at this time, but we know what it is, and so we take good care of it.
All right. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to Port Angeles, Washington. Tom, hello there. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Please thank the screener for taking my call. It's good. I didn't get a chance to do it myself.
Okay.
And Lloyd, I've been listening to this show just to stay in practice of being a good skeptic for some 18 years.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know, I think it helped you a little bit if I can ask you this one question.
Sure.
I mean, you've obviously been on a hell of a ride for years.
Right.
But are you making really good use of the money you're getting in?
Well, we don't really get that much money in from people. I don't really ask for a whole lot especially lately. Now, every time we had testing, you know, major tests to do in the past, I would say we need this amount, and people would contribute and we would use it. But since the new geneticist came online early last year, we had one right at first. We paid for some of the stuff, and he realized how hard it is for us to collect money to do this. I mean, it seems like it would be easy, but it really isn't. So he began to do it just out of his own pocket in his own time. What we need done costs so much that I don't ask people for that. I would not expect people to contribute that amount of money. We try to find, we're talking a few million dollars. So we're trying to talk to wealthy people, very wealthy people who have that kind of money. Now, please don't tell me, have I thought of Bill Gates and have I thought of Richard Branson and have I thought of, you know, Paul Allen. You know, of course we've thought of those people, but people like us can't get past their gatekeepers. I mean, the gatekeeper's job is to keep people that want money from those people away from them. And then when you come at the gatekeeper and you say, well, I've got this skull that we have proof that it's an alien and all. Well, you know, you're just out of the game before you even begin. It doesn't work. It's going to have to go through somebody who personally knows that kind of person, who went to school with them or has some kind of a relationship, just like with the geneticist. The friend of the wife said, hey, you ought to read this. The wife read it. The wife said to her husband, hey, you ought to read this. It's going to have to be something like that, probably, unless we get lucky with the people that we try to approach on a regular basis. But it's a difficult economy. It's a lot of money. And it's a subject that most people don't really understand, hasn't been put to bed yet by the mainstream. Most people that I talk to, it's staggering how they say, well, aliens aren't real. I mean, why are you even bothering with it, you know?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, so, I don't doubt your sincerity, and I don't doubt your good diligence, right?
Right,
and
thank you.
I want to shoot you guys a check, right? And I just want to know, In the future, I'm not going to find out that you're driving a Cadillac STX. Not, all right?
Well, I'll tell you, my car.
You're not going to send that kind of a check, are you, Tom?
Yeah. The car is 7 years old.
For no, George.
800 square feet in a garage, on top of a garage, and I've lived that way for years. I've got an old beat up car. No, I don't waste it. I know that I'm going to do well in the end when this thing happens. So when you know that, you can sacrifice quite a lot when you know that the reward at the end of it's going to be substantial.
Tom, I've met Lloyd a couple times. He's as gracious in person as he is on the phone. He does not overly dress. He doesn't hit the Brooks Brothers stores. And if anything, Tom and I were going to make a donation for your clothes there, Lloyd. But
now, see, that's funny. That's really good. Well, I don't blame you. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
As soon as I hear, where to shoot some money off, this has been a long ride for you.
It really has, and I appreciate it. It's on the Star Child Project website, starchildproject.com. You'll see donate buttons there if you so choose. Get the ebook. Get the Star Child Essentials ebook. It costs like $6.95, and it's it'll tell you what you need to know. It'll give you that wonderful DNA result from the mitochondrial DNA. All four fragments are there in detail, shown, broken down. Anybody can get it, see it, understand it, and you'll be the smartest person in the room if anybody starts talking about UFOs, if you'll just go through Star Child Essentials ebook. It'll really bring you up to speed if you want to know about it and be able to talk about it intelligently. That's the way to go. It's very easy, 150 pages, 150 illustrations. It's take an hour and a half at the most to go through it. Well worth it, in my opinion.
Well, let's go to Hawaii. Eddie, Wildcard Line. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A question and then also some good news for you guys. The first question was about to Lloyd about you were talking about the TV show and how the eyes and the neck weren't quite the way you thought they should be. And I was just curious what you're basing that on.
Well, you can see if you look at the Star Child's neck muscles, where you can see where muscle attaches to bone. So you can see how the cheek muscles were, where they were, and how different they were from humans. You can see where the neck attaches. You know, if you reach around to the back rear of your head, lower part, middle of your head, you'll feel a knot. Everybody has that. And right underneath it, you'll feel your neck muscles begin. That's called an INN, or the external occipital protuberance, and that's where your neck begins. And your neck spins from there over to around your, under the base of your ears, under your mastoid bone, and down up under around your throat. So your neck's a certain size, and you can see where the connections are. You look at the star child, and it's completely different from that. It doesn't have that INN, that knot back there, completely missing. Only if you've got a head on a neck, you've got one of those, except the star child. Its neck is down about a half inch from the rear part of its of the opening of its spinal column. So its wow. neck is about half the size of our neck. Just completely different. But when you build a head and you're a sculptor and you put that on a spindly little pipe of a neck, it just doesn't look right. And Bill just wasn't comfortable with it. So he slapped some muscles on again, you know, to flare it out a little bit and make it look a little more what he was comfortable with.
And how about the eyes?
Well, the eyes just, you couldn't get a human type eyeball in that socket. So he just decided to basically cut it in half. And
I
then
see.
He put that in and it fit, you know, and it made it look a little more human-like. But whatever the eyes the star child had, they're not like our eyes. They're very, very different. Whatever they are, they're not like our eyes.
I'm excited to get the ebook. I'm going to go pick it up right now, and I'm going to recommend it to a few people here. One good thing is there are quite a few people with money here on Kauai, and they're very interested in these kind of things. So I'll take a look at the book.
Spread it around. We've got a proposal, business proposal. Anybody that's serious, we can give them what they need to find out about the deal.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great, you got that. Let's go to Kathy in Meadville, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hi, Kath.
Hello, George. It's an honor to talk to both you and Lloyd.
You too.
I have two questions. My first one is, Lloyd, you have so much evidence already with the fibers in the bone tissue and just the DNA and everything you already have. I would think that would be pretty much world-shaking to begin with. And my second question is, I really, truly, honestly have a problem with thinking that this is going to totally destroy everybody's worlds. I think that the human race is way more adaptable than that, like 9-1-1 has shown. That really bothers me that everybody thinks that this is going to just destroy everybody's worlds.
Well, I don't think that at all. I think that when we make the announcement, whenever that day is, everybody will get up and go to work the next day. The only people that are going to really be profoundly impacted is those branches of science that deal specifically with this subject. They are going to have, you know, Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Those folks are going to have some explaining to do.
And we can all chuckle at that.
Excuse me?
And we can all chuckle at them.
Right. But you know, so it's going to be at the expense of them. But the rest of us are just going to get up and go to work, and it's another day. And it won't change that much, but it will allow the building of the platform. Again, this is my thoughts on it, that will initiate the building of the platform toward full disclosure, where it'll give people a chance to start getting used to the idea in a very safe context, relatively speaking, to the idea of the alien that you see in Independence Day and District 9 and, you know, like that, where they're hanging over the major cities and there's a real threat and it's a war between us and them. I don't really see that as the reality of the situation. But it provides a stepping stone in the direction of coming to a better understanding and acceptance of our own real place in the universe, and it's not what we think it is. We're not all that there is.
True. So what are you going to do when you do get this final DNA evidence? What's your next step?
Good question.
Well, the next step is just get the money. We have everything else in place. We have we're going to be creating two documentary films to recount the two major steps of it, the recovery of the DNA, and then the sequencing of the unknown parts of it. We're going to build two documentaries around those processes to pay the money back, to pay back the investor of the money that we have to get to do this.
Well, if it's donated, those folks don't want the money back, Lloyd, right?
What folks don't want the money
back?
Well,
if people donate to you.
No. They don't. No, the donations don't. That's right. They don't expect it back. But again, it's not really a super large amount of money. But with an investor, when you're talking a few million dollars, yeah, they're going to want that back. They're going to want that back with some profit. So that's what we're doing. We've set up. We have our documentary director lined up. Matt Richards in England. He works for the BBC. He's a top guy over there. We have our a top entertainment attorney lined up. We have a top entertainment accountant lined up. We have a film commission lined up behind us, ready to go to work, do whatever. We have everything in place. Remember, I used to be a screenwriter in Hollywood in the 80s, so I know a little about how to do this. It's just, again, just fortunate that everything lined up like that. And so we're in position. We just need to convince someone that we have the goods and show them we have everything we need. It's just getting people to sit down and talk to us. That's the hard thing. They just can't believe that it's really true. You do, we do, everybody in our community does, but the people out there, the average person, they've been brainwashed to believe that it's all a hoax, it's all a fraud, you know, what the kind of thing that you see in the tabloids, and they're flabbergasted when you try to begin to talk to them to say, no, this is really real. It's very hard for them to wrap their minds around it. They're thoroughly brainwashed.
Well, they are. A couple minutes to go here, Lloyd. People want information on what you do before we take one or two more calls. Where do they go? What's your favorite website? What do they do?
The Starchild www.starchildproject.com is where you go if you want information about the Starchild. If you want to get the Starchild Essentials ebook, www.starchildproject.com. If you're interested in the other work that I've done, the human origins stuff, the hominoid stuff, Bigfoot, the abominable snowman, like that, go to www.lloydpye.com, LLOYDPYE.com. That book is called Everything You Know Is Wrong. Everything You Know Is Wrong. Do not get that. Do not go to Amazon in the U.S. Go to www.iUniverse, the letter I and the word universe.com. Amazon here in the States only sells used copies because they make a lot of money on it. If you're outside the U.S., you can go to amazon.co.uk and get a new one for a reasonable price, but Amazon here still sells used copies for outrageous amounts, and I urge everyone not to do business with them. For that, go to iUniverse.com. You'll get a new copy at a reasonable price.
All right, Lloyd Pye, my friend, you are one of the best. Good luck in your work. Again, I want to thank you for your diligence, for your efforts. You know, it's folks like you, Lloyd Pye, that make this program as good as it is nationwide, because you care about what you do. And I'm just proud of knowing what you do and knowing you.
Thank you so much, George. Thank you for having me on. Thank everybody listening for spending the time with us tonight. And let me just assure everybody, this is for real. This is legitimate. This is the real deal. We're on our way. We're going to win. It's just, we just need a little bit more time and a few million dollars, and we got it in the bag. Don't worry.
You got it. Lloyd Pye, one of the best. His website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When I come back, it's 2 hours of those Friday the 13th open lines. Plus, we're going to open up a hotline for you. Did you have good luck? Did you have bad luck today? I'll give you the numbers later.